You are listening to The Strategy Behind Branding Yourself, a podcast for those looking to tap into their passion, make an impact, and begin building a brand. My name is Precious Price, and I'll be your host. Thanks for joining. So we are back, as always. I would not leave you guys. We are back with another episode. And before we dive into the intro, I want to remind you all to connect with me off of this platform. So if you're listening to me on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you are listening to me, I would like for you to connect with me off of this platform as well, meaning Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All of my handles and names are the same at Precious C Price on across all three platforms, but please do connect with me, follow me, and you can just see sort of day to day what I go through, business struggles, life struggles. I upload it all, but I would love to connect with you further outside of this. And just another reminder, as always, make sure you are, if you have not already, claim your seat at the brand table. If this is your first time hearing about the brand table, number one, shame on you. But the brand table is an online platform that provides you with the community content and contacts to begin building your brand. You can claim your seat at the table where everybody eats at bit.ly, so that's bit.ly/thebrandtable. So let's dive in. This week, I'm sitting down with Audrey Korshoff. Now, I just want to give you guys a little bit of background on where Audrey and I are recording and how this all came about in the first place. So Audrey and I, we met at an event here in Atlanta, Georgia, hosted by Facebook for small business owners. So Audrey and I were sitting at a table specifically for small business owners who are within the professional services industry. Of course, we connected because, as I will explain later, she is a marketing strategist. And as you all know, or you should know, I am within the brand strategy realm. I am a brand strategist. That is what I help my personal clients with. So after Audrey and I were sitting at this table with a number of other business owners as well, chatting it up for literally over an hour, all connecting. I love networking, if you do not know. But I then ended up asking her to record this quick segment that we are about to dive into. Now, again, I would like to remind you that we were at a conference style event. So the quality of audio that you are about to hear within this particular episode is not as great or as clear as my other episodes. Now, of course, you can still hear the content and you will still get the message. However, you will hear an elevator pinging in the background every now and again, and maybe a few people walking through a few minutes into the episode. But again, no worries, you are still able to hear the message. Now, diving into specifically, who Audrey is and pretty much what she does. So Audrey Korshoff is a serial entrepreneur, as well as the founder and CEO of Adaptable Strategy. Now, Adaptable Strategy is a consulting and media agency specializing in marketing strategy and business development. And if you're not familiar, pretty much marketing strategy is the umbrella that brand strategy sits under. So I was really excited to bring her onto this episode. Audrey herself boasts over 20 years of experience, not only growing her own business, but also helping companies of various sizes accomplish their goals. So whether you're an early stage startup or an established large business, Audrey is willing or has the ability to help you with all of that. In this episode, we're discussing side hustling while working full time. As stated, Audrey is a serial entrepreneur. She's done so much and she has a breadth of experience, which is absolutely amazing. So I'm excited to dive into all of the insights that she has to share. We also discuss finding your passion as well as how you can help your clients adapt to change. And for those of you who may not currently have clients, how can you yourself begin to adapt to change? So we're going to dive right into the middle of me and Audrey's conversation. But at the end of this episode, let me know what you think. If you like this, love the content that we're putting out, please give it a thumbs up, give it a 5 stars, leave a written review. I'm pushing those written reviews because I love to hear actual feedback on how the episodes, how the show is actually doing. So without further ado, let's hop right into it.
And I said, yeah, I am. And I said, you know what? That was another moment when other people tell you that they see you spark. Mm-hmm. They see your eyes light up. They see you get like your body just gets excited about doing mm-hmm. something. For me, I love helping other people get to where they want to go.
Yes.
Like, and I love the game. It's like a chess game. You know, mm-hmm. rip something apart and put it back together.
Yeah.
I love to do it. It's mm-hmm. just a, and I do. I get excited. I get excited to see their results. I get mm-hmm. excited to see how we can make it grow.
Yeah.
And I get excited when it starts to grow and they get excited.
Yeah. It's like that excitement or that energy, or when you're talking about your passion, right? Like, people see that, because a number one question that at least my listeners, right? One of the episodes that did really well was one that I titled, "But What's My Passion?" Because I constantly get the question of, well, Precious, you tell me to brand myself around my passion or brand myself around what I enjoy. What if I don't know what I enjoy? That's when you not only have to look internally, but then look externally at the people around you, right? But I love what you said about just, it was something that sparked, like, people could notice that passion. People notice things when you're around them. And what I tell people all the time is, if you're trying to identify where you can add value, you not only need to look at your passion and what sparks you and what gives you that excitement, but also where are you an expert? What is your expertise? It's like an overlay. Because if you find what you're passionate about, that's great. That's fine. Some of us are passionate about just watching Netflix. Is that going to make us some money? Probably not. So again, looking at, what do people ask you questions on? What do they ask you for insight on? And then on top of that, what is it also that you like to do? What is your passion? Because when you find, or you marry those two, that's when you can really capitalize on making money from your passion.
I can actually give you a personal example of this, because I in changing things over, I was doing very much a one-on-one consulting with mm-hmm. small businesses mm-hmm. and where I was contracting out with local businesses mm-hmm. or with, you know, semi-local regional businesses.
Yeah.
And I've been recently moving things onto an online consulting space, mm-hmm. Which is something, you know, that I knew would end up being, as my children have getting older, that my plan is to be more transient in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, originally when you start to build out a program, even for yourself, it's really hard. So, I mean, I can understand, like, if, when anybody says to me, I don't know, I can totally relate.
Yeah.
I can totally relate, because I know that I've been in this for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was building out this marketing side of things and trying to appeal to a basic or more general audience, mm-hmm. the one thing that I am, I love is people. I mm-hmm. love dealing with people. And I personally have been through a number of traumatic events that most people have always said, you're the strongest person I know. Mm-hmm. You always have this positive attitude. Well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Right? It's really a mindset choice.
Yeah.
It does not matter what you've gone through. I mean, and unfortunately, it does matter what you've gone through, but mm-hmm. it shapes who you are. So all the positives and all the negatives that happen to you in life, they still shape you. Mm-hmm. And they shape you into the beautiful masterpiece that you are. And life will continue to shape you to the beautiful masterpiece you will be at the end of your life.
Yes.
And so, and the more you think about it that way, so I do a lot with mindset with the people I work with to reset their framework. Mm-hmm. But that was the part that I had missing, because mm-hmm. I just was so focused on just the marketing strategy and the marketing side of things that I was like, I'm getting bored with myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is one part of it, but I really do like pulling in the mindset to be able to make sure that you do find what you have to reconnect to yourself and your soul. Because if you don't, what happens is you're so focused on your business that mm-hmm. your family life suffers.
Yep.
Or your charitable life suffers, or your mm-hmm. church life, or your spiritual life, or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. or your health.
Yeah.
It's, you have to maintain a well-rounded approach. And, mm-hmm. and it's very easy to get laser focused in business.
Yeah.
But it's great to be laser focused and at the same time apply a whole body, whole life approach to things, that you have checkpoints for yourself. Am I still on task? Am I still on target with where I want to go?
Yeah.
Does what I'm doing right now serve me business-wise? Mm-hmm. Does what I'm doing right now serve me for my family, for my future. Mm-hmm. And they have to all connect. And mm-hmm. and so, case in point, I had to kind of go through that same thing when mm-hmm. I was shaping out this program, because it wasn't just about the marketing strategy. That's one piece of it. Mm-hmm. But I had to do it for me, too. It's not just for my clients. It's for me. Mm-hmm. I have to give back personally in order to feel like I'm making a difference.
I love that. So when you were, because we talked about a little bit of balance, when you were starting out and you were building this side hustle to now turn into your agency, your baby, what did that balance look like? How did you find that balance of working a full-time job and committing yourself to a side hustle to not only have it sustain, but scale? Because you only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah, one, I used to be blessed with a lot of energy. it's funny, I joke all the time, but it's like years ago, I could go and go and go like an Energizer bunny. And there was a point in my life when I was younger mm-hmm. that I could sleep 3 or 4 hours, get up and do it again. And I sustained that for a little while. And it took its toll, obviously, mm-hmm. To the point where at one point I was 28, my marriage was failing, my life went, there was a whole host of other issues behind that marriage mm-hmm. failing, to be fair, but I had been trying to overcompensate for things that were missing in my life by working.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
So it's not really, but looking back, of course, you can always go, mm-hmm. oh, that's exactly where I
was. Exactly. Looking back, it's easy. It's clear. It's 2020 looking back. But it's
in the moment. Yeah. It took some time. And I think the biggest thing is developing that side hustle. I was always willing to look at, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm mm-hmm. always looking at opportunities.
Yeah.
And as a single parent of 4 kids, I did whatever it took to make sure that my kids had food on the table. Mm-hmm. And I started to value myself and my side hustle, value myself more from the 9 to 5 and the side hustle. When I realized that I could sit for a weekend mm-hmm. and maybe in about 5 hours, make double what they were going to pay me for sitting there for 40 hours.
40,
and
exactly.
I was slammed to a time clock. I was like, wait a second here. This might not be what I need to spend.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to be able to be consistent first. So you have to make sure that there's some sort of consistency there, because, mm-hmm. or that there's the ability for it to be almost consistent.
Yeah.
So that you can, you can't expect to always make double.
But, yeah.
With the same or more. But you should expect to be able to multitask. And I will mm-hmm. say this. When you work for yourself and you are building that side hustle, it's very easy sometimes to lose sight of the hours that you're working. Or some
yeah.
people think that 4-hour work week is a real thing.
Yeah.
And the reality is that when you work for yourself, there's no such thing as
24/7.
It's 24/7. And you have to be very conscious. Like, you're always your brand. You're
yeah.
always your own. You're always representing yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to be a little bit more conscious about taking care of yourself, taking care of the time to mm-hmm. rest, taking care of the time to present yourself well, taking care to, make some clear delineations.
But yeah.
You know you're on 24/7. You have to understand. I think most people think, oh, I'm just going to do this, and then I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to build this thing, and I'm just going to make just to sit back on a page and collect my money.
That's
not true.
And that's the thing. That's one of the downfalls, right, of this social media age, right? Of everyone going, especially those who may have a side hustle or they're working for themselves, people who have these jobs, right, shaming, or they're being shamed for having a 9-to-5, for having a job. It's like, oh, you still work for yourself? Or, oh, I'm working from home, I'm on the beach. And now it's a feeling of, I don't know, maybe being left out, or just feeling like this whole, I'm sure you've heard this quote before, why work for somebody else for 40 hours when you could work towards your dream? You're building their dream and you're never building yours.
Right.
And it's just like, don't have these quote unquote internet gurus mm-hmm. have you quitting your job, thinking that
losing your benefits, or goodness. This actually scales really well. The same thing. One of the guys that I worked with, starting about 2.5 years ago, he was at the time about 54, 55 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He had been in the financial industry for long enough that he had, made himself it was a vice president level
mm-hmm.
for a major, major corporation. and in the banking industry.
Yeah.
And so he was traveling a lot for work. So they sent him on seminars. They sent him to go see like high level clients.
Yeah.
He was you know, doing well for himself, and he had a gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody would shake a stick at that salary.
Yeah.
And he, you know, got to travel, and he had great benefits.
Yeah.
And he was working in the industry, so he had a lot there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, there was like a whole Wells Fargo scenario a few years back.
Yeah.
He was not involved with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it had everybody in the banking industry at the time sort of like, oh my gosh, did we do something wrong? You know, and everybody, because it was like this gigantic spotlight.
Yeah.
Well, with that, a lot of the companies started to look internally and to sort of, you know, close down certain areas that were maybe iffy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was looking at, they were sort of kind of pushing him into a semi-retirement, or kind of hinting that it might be time for him in a couple of years to retire.
Yeah.
He had a kid in college, like a freshman in college. He was not ready to retire by any means, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was looking at doing, I talked him into beginning to build his consulting business.
Yes.
While he's still collecting that money, and to ride that big-ass paycheck.
Yes.
For as long as he could, and take that severance package when they offered it to him.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as he could. So the idea was, don't quit your job. You have great benefits over here.
Mm-hmm.
You have great opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Just ride it.
Exactly.
Let's build this thing while you know you're on limited time.
Mm-hmm.
You know you have X amount of time until they're probably going to say, suggest it again. And you might be able to buy a little bit more time.
Yeah.
But the idea is build what you can, make it scalable and sustainable so that you know you have three or four clients like that that you can make money off now because he traveled.
Exactly. Yeah.
On travel time and whatnot, but that you can go ahead and turn around and turn into a more full-time gig and
mm-hmm.
have referrals ready to go and have
mm-hmm.
all this. 3 years later, he left me the best testimonial I think I've ever seen in my life.
Amazing.
And he's no longer working for the company. They
mm-hmm.
gave him a great severance package.
Mm-hmm.
He's retained all of his benefits that he had worked so hard for and put a career's worth of time into.
Yeah.
To be fair, you know, so, but now he's working for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, a couple years older.
Yeah.
He's dividing his time between his place in Fort Lauderdale and his place in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He's way more flexible with his time. And, you know, I'm definitely working harder, if not just as hard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm working for me. I'm working. And
it's more fulfilling.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm able to make a difference. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't have to worry about somebody firing me.
Mm-hmm.
I
work for
yourself.
Exactly. But it took putting those years in, right? Or even it took him appreciating that 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
It took him appreciating that career so that they... I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's it. Like, don't let somebody shame you for having a job. You know what? Like, that job pays your mortgage. That job pays your rent. That job pays your
side hustle.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that, you know what? The best thing you can do is, while you have the energy to do it, is just get as much experience as you can.
Exactly.
And try new things with your side hustle or side hustles if you
mm-hmm.
want to, if you have an interest in something and you don't know what your passion is.
Yeah.
For, right? Let's say you don't even know yet. You're,
yeah.
You kind of think it might be, but before you go quitting your job,
figure it out.
Side hustle. So, I mean, I actually had a whole business. When I left the big corporate environment,
mm-hmm.
For example, I fell into doing hotel liquidations.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
So this is where this, like, so there's this completely like about face.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, I would have never pegged me for clearing out hotels. I mean, it's staying in hotels, but I never, you know, would think about the furniture that came from hotels.
Yeah.
But I ended up building over 5 years or so,
mm-hmm.
building a business that was solely about hotel liquidation furniture, buying
mm-hmm.
things. Now, how did that fit in for me personally? I'm crafty.
Yep.
I love my grandmother was very influential in my life, and she was a depression child.
Yep.
And so she always taught me to reuse things or repurpose things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, and I'm plus, you know, I am definitely a child of the late 80s, early 90s, and we were very, you know, I did hit cloth diapers, so everything fit in with my natural parenting / reusing things.
Yeah.
Trying to be earth conscious.
Yeah.
You know, my hippie, I'm very hippie. If you could see me right now, I'm literally like free people. Like, it's like, I'm
yeah,
wearing,
it,
I'm
it looks good. Bell bottoms. I was just going to, she has bell bottoms on, but it looks good.
But I'm like, we're free people. But you know, so legitimately, like, I've always been a little artsy-fartsy. I've always been creative. I like to repurpose things. So when I took that furniture, it was fine. It was ended up being like I would repaint it.
Yeah.
I would show people how, like, with a can of spray paint and like a change out a knob.
Mm-hmm.
You have this piece that's solid. It's going to last you for another 5 or 6 years. And it looks amazing. Brand new. When you paid, what, $25 for it or $30 for it?
Yeah.
And plus the $5 for a can of spray paint. You know, like, it's
I like that piece also because it's a way, like, you're finding different ways to cater to your various passions. But then not only that, you're monetizing. It's like you can be passionate. I know so many people who they have the passion there, but they're not capitalizing on the money that they can make from it, right? And even now with the marketplace stuff that you're doing, it's still along the same line.
You know, it's so funny. I love, and I joke, and I don't think I'll ever stop side hustling.
Okay, so Audrey, that there we're in passing. Yeah, okay. So there's been a number of gems dropped during this episode. I say it all the time, but that's because I tend to bring good guests on the show. But one last question that I have for you, and this will kind of bring it all together for listeners, is starting out, because you've had a number of side hustles, you've had the corporate experience, now you're full-time, turned your side hustle into your full-time. What did that branding look like starting out? Did you make any mistakes? Or is there something that you feel like was really integral that played a major part in you getting to where you are right now and scaling to the magnitude?
One of the things, and I'm always saying that you can't be a teacher unless you're actually a willing participant and willing student yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because so number one, mine's constantly changing.
Yeah.
The brand stays consistent. Now that I've branded with the adaptable strategy, I've been putting everything. My logo has a little arrow. My business card, one of the taglines is targeted growth, period, done, period.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is everything is focused around either being targeted or being, you know, being strategy driven or actually, but also at the same time being adaptable, being free to change.
Yeah.
The other big thing that I had to do for myself was I had to really develop, and you'll hear this in a lot of people who are interested in scaling, you have to develop your professional avatar.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, as you are, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that takes some training and it takes some self-reflection and it takes being sort of, you know, if you can promote other people, mm-hmm. which is usually easy. It's easy to help promote other people. It's very difficult for some people, not everybody, mm-hmm. but for some people, it's very difficult to actively self-promote.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to create your own, you have to think about creating your own brand within your face, or, you know, mm-hmm. within yourself. What are you portraying?
Mm-hmm.
What are you, you know, but who are you and what do you want people to see first?
And that's a part of your
professional avatar. Yeah. So mm-hmm. who are you? And I want people to see that I, in fact, I just talked to one of the guys at our table.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want them to see somebody who's, yes, I've got a host of experience. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely can help you. Also really creative and fun. And I'm a happy person and I'm really easy to get along.
I'm personable.
I'll be the same person who, you know, like, I can slam a ton of beers with you or whatever at the dive bar, or I could go to the country club, show up. I can do all those fun things, mm-hmm. but realistically, when we get down to business, we're serious about it.
Exactly.
I want to be, you know, somebody that you're not afraid to call if you need somebody just to talk to you down, freak out moment.
Yeah.
But also somebody that legitimately, I've made mistakes along mm-hmm. the way, and my biggest thing is I want people to see the realness. I'm not going to come across as somebody who says, I'm the best, I can do everything. I mean, that's a really big claim to her, mm-hmm. and I actually really have a big problem with the people who come out with their marketing like that, and what's worse is I'm shocked by how many people fall for that trick.
They do!
I'm really
is this the biggest and best event? Who said that?
You know, and their product, you know, and just my big thing is I've made a lot of mistakes, and my biggest thing is I want somebody to see my flawed humanity.
Yes,
because I feel like when you identify and you're when you identify with somebody who's been where you've been, who's made the changes and continues to make those changes and to adapt, you know, to build their brand, and as time changes and as brand changes and as they have both their life experience, but make sure that it all flows together, right?
Yeah.
And their business grows together. You want to have somebody who's not afraid to be honest about saying, hey, I made mistakes. Let me show you where I made the mistakes so you don't make them.
Exactly.
I can save you this much money. This is how much it costs me. This is how much stress. This is how much time I wasted. This is how much money I lost.
Yeah.
Or potential money even by scaling. Let me see if I can help you avoid making those same mistakes.
And that's the biggest piece, because when you look at it, people relate far more to your failures and your shortcomings than your successes. When you're completely transparent on, this is where I'm still learning, this is the area where, you know, I don't have a ton of experience, but I'm improving on it right now, that helps people. And I think one of the pieces that I just like to mention quickly is, I get people who say they want to keep their personal away from their professional.
You can't. It's nice to want to do those things. And I think, and I will say this, you can keep certain parts of your personal life intensely personal, right? But you've got to be honest, and you've got to be open, and you've got to be really you.
Because people can tell.
People will see right through it.
Yep.
I mean, there's, like, if you've ever, I'm trying to think of, like, what, maybe you can think of something off the top of your head, like, you know, somebody who came across immediately that way to you. Like,
oh yeah, no, I can definitely think of a number of people.
Everybody knows somebody. We don't have to call somebody.
Yeah, we won't call them out. But you know who you are if you're listening.
Everybody knows somebody, not even in the professional sense of the world, but even, like, you know, in your school, like school or church or in your office.
Yeah.
Like, there's always somebody who's, like, larger than life, and they just can't do any wrong. And you realize, you know, I think the funniest thing about that, and now I'm, you know, over 40 and the funniest thing about that is the people that I thought were the strongest or the biggest and the best were fighting personal battles that you don't know a thing about. They were just really good at hiding them.
Yeah.
And so if you're in touch with who you are as a person, and you're in touch with reality, and you're willing to share that humanity, I love Brene Brown. I will just go ahead and give her a shout out. I absolutely love her. Practicing emotional, like, vulnerability and being very open about who you are and being very caring and having those conversations. The Power of Vulnerability is a great book if you haven't read it.
Okay.
Amazing.
Noted.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great book. You can listen to the audiobook if you want to. But just a lot of what she says is so true, because you can't actually form a relationship with anybody you work with, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're in a consulting space or not, you have to be able to have those difficult conversations, but be able to do so with empathy.
Yeah.
And be able to connect. And you can't show anybody empathy if you're not willing to open up and be vulnerable yourself.
Exactly.
So that's with branding or whatever. That's it fits in with branding. You gotta be yourself.
Exactly. And being yourself is the best way to actually sell yourself, right? Your energy, I say this all the time, but your brand is your energy. If you want to put it simply, what energy do you put out to other people?
You're uniquely you for a reason, and you have something of value to give to others or to share with others, no matter who you are. And just, you find that thing and you just be uniquely you, your light, and you're, you know, like, this little light of mine or whatever.
Yes.
That will shine through, and it will, and it will make a difference, and people will see that light and people will see that truth.
Yes.
So that's what I got for you.
I love that. Thank you so much, Audrey. I really appreciate it. This episode has been absolutely amazing. I will say I've learned a lot. I learned a lot in all of them, but I've really learned a lot here because, again, we love to keep it as a conversation. So can you let the listeners know where we can find you if people are interested in your services? How can they follow up?
Right now, since I'm talking on Facebook, let's just go ahead and do that. On Facebook, I'm under Adaptable Strategy. You will notice that there's not thousands or anything on that page because, you know, I just rebranded that name.
Of course.
And if you want to find out what I'm doing, Miller Hotel Furniture Stuff in Nashville, Maine, I'm thinking about reopening a side of that because I just really love, and I have all these people who love it, but I'm going to do it differently, I think, this time, which would be a little bit smaller scale than it was before. It was really big, got too much. But yeah, that one is under American Hotel Liquidators. So if you want to see kind of where I've been.
Yeah.
There's years of history on that page.
Nice.
So you can really kind of see, you can see old videos of mine. You can see my different hair colors. You can see my different weight sizes. You can see all
And again, for the listeners, right, it's relatable because it's currently where you all are, where you're trying to be. I love when I find people who I admire on social media, right, who are in positions where I want to be. I love scrolling all the way back to see how they started out. Where were they? What were they doing? What were those strategies?
I mean, and if you go way back on that American Hotel Liquidators page, like legitimately, you'll see me with a ponytail. Mm-hmm. And I mean, well, actually I wear ponytails all the time. So you'll see me unloading a truck. You'll see me in my warehouse. You'll see me in the space. You'll see me in a retail thing. You'll see me on site. And that's the other thing. Be unafraid to be you. I feel so many people, they're afraid to do like those Facebook lives.
Oh yeah.
They're just like, oh, a video. I've got to look just right. No, you don't. Just be you.
I'm that person. I'm so sad to say. I'm that person too.
Just be you. You know why? Because I think if you're too done up or if you're too always looking perfect, again, it comes back to
authenticity.
Just be you.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Then when people meet you on the street, or they run into you in person, they're going to recognize you.
Yeah,
and
that's very true.
But don't be afraid to be who you are, because a lot of times, like conversations just like this, I say stuff all the time in my Zoom, like in my consultation. I record all my Zoom meetings because I need, I come up with things that
let me write that down.
Put that file up later. But I mean, I come up in just conversation because conversation is what it is. And having an open conversation with whether the people you're working with or other colleagues or, or people you admire, just mentors in general or anything like that.
Yeah.
Conversation is where it's at, and being uniquely you and being unafraid to be uniquely you. That comes, it takes, I will say that it's gotten easier with age a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like, I joke around, my give a damn is busted.
Yeah. You get unapologetic.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to see me at 85, so, but it'll be funny, I'm sure. Very funny. So, but yeah, just, I guess that'll be my final thing, I guess, for you guys, because I know I can talk for literally hours on that.
Love it.
But yeah, be unapologetically you and share your gift with the world, whatever it may be.
Yes. Perfect. So if you're interested in just learning more about Audrey, please look her up. I'll leave all of her information in the show notes, as well as links to Adaptable Strategy if you're interested. But thank you so much for listening to this episode, and thank you, Audrey, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast. If you love this episode, please go on your social media and share, subscribe, and review. Let me know you're listening by tagging me at Precious C Price. That's at PRECIOUSCPRICE. I can't wait to chat with you guys.